Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Good morning, Chicagoland, and good morning, Mr. Dave Schwann.
Good morning to you, Mr. Dave Plyer.
We actually have some time to talk this morning.
Yeah, how about it? We're not rushed like we were.
I know, there's some days that it just gets a little tight, you know?
Yeah, well, last week it was, and I thought this week might be, because you had a big show today with Carl Reiner, I think.
Did you get to check out a little
bit? I'm sorry, I did not.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm sorry, I did not.
You're going to have to catch the podcast.
Well, that's why we have the web and
that's
the podcast.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Right.
So, yeah, no, I was just telling Roger that the storm that went through here this past week, surprisingly, you know, not a lot of activity here in the city, but I was out home being Northwest Indiana on Friday to attend a funeral. And, boy, they, you know, it was a big difference between here and just not all that far south, southwest of here, or southeast, rather.
Yeah, you know, it was... It was pretty light, although, you know, I've been traveling the last couple of weeks, and so it, you know, getting in and out of the city, and it's amazing how many flights get canceled at O'Hare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they might say 300, 400, 1,000 flights, and Midway, it's always there's six flights canceled. Why is that?
There are less flights.
Well, no, I get that a little bit, but I mean, I feel like Southwest will just fly through anything, and I mean, I like that. But, you know, when I a couple of weeks ago when I flew through Houston and we had that windstorm, I had to take I had to go from one airport. When I got to the airport, on the way over there, it said that my flight was canceled. I had to cancel. So I canceled that flight altogether. They said all the flights were canceled to Chicago that night. I had to get home. I had a cab take me to the next airport that got me to Midway because not one Midway flight was canceled. Then I flew it to Midway here, where I felt the plane being pushed around, and it was awful. And then I had to take a cab from Midway to O'Hare to go get my car before I could go get home. So I was within four airports within 4 hours trying to get home, and I did. But, I mean, Midway is always a little bit more available. But I flew out again. I don't even remember where I went. Oh, my God, is that terrible? Literally for work, it's been, like, nonstop. But...
reminding me of the commercial with this woman standing in the middle of a terminal on her cell phone going, I'm at an airport, looking around.
Well, I forget where I park because I say, oh, no, I parked in Bears level 2.
Oh, so yours is the car I saw sitting all by itself.
No, I just, but then I think, no, that's where I parked last week. Shoot, I didn't look to see where I parked this time. Oh, no, we were in Nashville this week, and so... Same thing happened as Thursday morning because of the snow on Wednesday. The lines to get through security, I was in line for 2 hours and I couldn't get through security.
2 hours?
I missed my flight, so I had to go to Midway and catch another flight to Nashville to meet my business partner out there. Oh, it was terrible. Terrible. It's been a nightmare of travel.
You need a vacation, Dave.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Well, actually, I'm not here next week. My daughter's got a father-daughter dance. I'm going to be in Vegas most of the week.
Yeah.
I'm going to be in Vegas most of the week. So I'm taking just a little respite, but I'm going to hit Florida at the end of the month, but still do my show that week. I think I land at midnight, right before midnight, and I'm just going to come straight here after I drop off the family. So
where are you going in Florida?
Orlando.
Okay.
I got youngins.
I've got some recommendations for you.
Good, 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 good. We're going to do Disney one day, but then we're just going to chill. And so we will talk post-show about that.
Okay,
for sure.
Post show and email and phone and what have you. Yeah,
love
yeah.
It.
I have some recommendations for you.
Well, it's a big birthday this week, Dave. In 1837, Chicago became incorporated.
That's what, March 2nd?
It was.
Yeah.
Yep. It's our 178th birthday this week, which is very cool. And Frank is celebrating with us, you know, tonight.
Of course.
Exactly. But yeah, it's the big celebration. So it's going to be our 180th in a couple years. So maybe there'll be something big going on at that time. 1849. We've talked about this before. It was the day the U.S. had no president for one day.
Yeah,
we have
the
story.
Yeah.
It was March 4th, a truly unusual piece of American history. It was whoops, hold on a second here. We got a little Sinatra playing there, too. Under the...
mixed in with Hail to the Chief.
I guess so. They were tied into one another. So as the term of President James Polk expired, he readily turned over the reins of the American presidential power to nobody. Because, let's see here. Under the rules of the Senate at the time, if elected president... pro temp to serve until it adjourned, rather than being continuous office as it is today. When a Senate was out of session, the presidency was technically a vacant job. So on March 3rd, the 30th Congress adjourned, at which point there was a senator whose service also ended. So it wouldn't be until the 31st Congress convened until the afternoon of March 5th when the Senate would elect a president pro temp. So it's just an odd story, but there was no president for one day. No president for one day. 1868.
See what happens at this time next year.
Exactly. 1868, the University of Illinois opened for classes with 2 faculty members and 77 students.
This was in Urbana-Champaign?
Urbana-Champaign in 1868.
68.
Mm-hmm. 1876, Alexander Graham Bell was granted the patent for the telephone. And Thomas Watson in the next room, Bell uttered these famous words, "Mr. Watson, come here. I want to see you."
That were the very first words spoken on a telephone.
Isn't that wild?
That's right.
Yeah. Let's see. 1899, Felix Hoffman patented the aspirin. Hoffman discovered the compound called salicin, which was found in willow plants that provided pain relief. Here's a commercial for Bufferin.
This is the sound of a human heart. It will beat 72 times in this minute. Every beat can be a painful throb if you have a headache. This pain remedy is Bufferin, the one doctors recommend by name more often than any other leading brand. Take 2 Bufferin, and every beat can mean your heart is pumping Bufferin's pain reliever through your bloodstream.
Do they sell Bufferin still?
I was just wondering about that. I have not seen Bufferin on the shelves in a drugstore or pharmacy in a long time. You still see Bayer,
yeah.
Aspirin.
You know what's also
Excedrin.
Bad? You know what I caught because they're a client of mine, Dollar General. All of their house brand medication is Rexall.
Oh,
They bought it.
They bought the Rexall brand.
Yeah, they bought the brand. It's still alive.
Do they still have the mortar and the pedestal as their logo? That was always a cool logo.
It was a
Rexall
classic.
Drugs.
It's like 60,000 dealers at one time, which is wild.
It looks like Bufferin is off the shelves.
Bufferin is off the shelves.
Sorry to hear that.
Keep the commercial. There's one of our sponsors, Dave.
Right, Bufferin.
We always
are fake sponsors.
Sponsors from the past.
I love that. 1913, the IRS began to levy and collect income taxes. Boo-hoo. 1931, the Star Spangled Banner officially becomes the U.S. national anthem. It was written in 1814. By Francis Scott Key. The Star Spangled Banner was recognized for the official use by the Navy in 1889 by President Woodrow Wilson in 1916, and it made the national anthem. It was made our national anthem in March 1931, signed by President Hoover.
Yes, I'm typing something on the computer here. I'm sorry.
All right. 1853 was the first time the Academy Awards were broadcast on television. 1958, the hula hoop was invented.
I had one.
Yeah. My daughter has them. She loves them. Also in 1963, Jack and Elaine Mulqueen began hosting the Mulqueens on WGN-TV. Elaine Mulqueen appeared on stage as a pixie-like character named Pandora. She also appeared on Bozo quite a bit. In 1965, the program was moved from WBKB, now WLS, and the show was renamed Mulqueen's Kitty A-Go-Go.
I remember that show.
It was dancing. It was a bunch of little kids dancing to like, it was like American Bandstand. It was the hits of the day.
They had a live studio audience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have a memory of that show.
Next year, it moved to WCIU. It used to, you know, it was Songs of the Day, 4 Seasons, The New Colony, 6. Well, last weekend, Jack Mulqueen died at the age of 83.
Ah.
So Elaine died some years ago. Let's take a little listen to Kitty A-Go-Go. Dave, sit down, stop dancing. Just stop it. Classic. Absolutely classic.
Hello, Queens, Kitty a Go-Go, the only show of its kind across the country.
That was true.
Yeah, nobody did anything like that. A lot of fun. Jack Mulqueen dead at the age of 83. 1978, the Chicago Daily News was founded. In 1875, it published its last issue in 1978. It began publishing in 1876. In 1922, the rival Chicago Tribune began to experiment with radio news, by the way, at Westinghouse-owned KYWAM. So that's before WGN Radio.
What were the call letters?
KYWAM. Because we were
KYWAM radio. Okay,
yes,
all right.
Because
I thought you were going to have five call letters.
Because we were WDAP before
WGN. Before
yeah.
WGN in 1924. That's correct.
But the Tribune just started dabbling in this. The Daily News entered into a partnership with the Fair Department Store to launch WGU, which was later renamed WMAQ. So there you go. So that became WMAQ. WDAP became WGN. The newspaper would eventually take full ownership at the station and then absorb another AM radio station. WMAQ would pioneer many firsts in radio owned by the Daily News, one of them the first complete Chicago Cubs season broadcast on radio in 1925. So it was before us that MAQ had the Cubs. And, of course, WGN eventually was launched by the Chicago Tribune, world's greatest newspaper is what we stand for, in 1924, 92 years ago.
And WLS stood for?
The world's largest store because they were owned by Sears Roebuck.
Exactly.
Boom.
Yeah.
We should go through call letters one day because there's some pretty interesting stuff going on there.
You know what? I heard you mention WMAQ, Dave.
You're going to make me rich, I remember.
WMAQ is going to make me rich. Yeah. I worked with someone who had worked at WMAQ, and if some of the folks out there that used to work for that radio station are listening, I'm thinking that the call letters, I was told that the call letters stood for We Must Ask Questions.
Oh, okay.
WMAQ. Okay. That's where they the call letters came from.
That's very cool.
Yeah,
we people don't know they stood for something. There's some radio station call signals that meant absolutely nothing.
Oh, right.
But
right.
In the early days,
they just put some letters together that they thought sounded good.
Yeah.
And the reason WIND doesn't have anything to do with wind, like wind in the Windy City. The reason it's WIND is because their transmitters are right across the state line in Indiana.
I did not know that either.
Or at least they were.
Look at you with the information. You are the king of information.
I'm a geek too.
I'm a geek too. And the last thing of the day. Now, this weekend, we celebrated Jackie Gleason's 100th birthday. Now, he's been long gone. He died back in the late 1980s. But he would have returned 100. So here's a little clip of Jackie as Ralph Cramden, plus some words from Joyce Randolph, who worked with him.
I'm miserable without you. Please come back to me, Alice. I apologize for everything I said. I even apologize to your mother. I know she doesn't mean the thing she says, Alice. It's just a nature.
This is when he was apologizing for yelling
at
Alice's mother.
She's just born that way.
He's recording a record.
When she says things about your old boyfriends and about the furniture in your apartment, I know that she doesn't mean to get me mad. She's just naturally mean, that's all. When she spilled the beans about the end of the play, I shouldn't have got mad at that. I should have expected it from her. I know how she is. She's never going to be any different, Alice. She's going to be the same all the way, Alice. She's the blood!
Classic. What was it like working with Jackie? You know, I know he was in control of everything, from what I've heard. He didn't rehearse that much. What was life like working with Jackie Gleason?
Well, a little difficult because he wasn't overly friendly, you know. He could be very nice, but he could also be a little bit mean if he wanted to and give orders. But he wanted things his way, and things were done his way. And he just wasn't going to rehearse much because he said it's not funny if it's over-rehearsed. It's got to be fresh and spontaneous. And he was right. He was right. Yeah. With us, it worked. So we didn't have long rehearsal schedules at all. Like people on the Moses Sid Caesar show over on NBC. We were on CBS. They were NBC. And they worked all week to put their show on. And, you know, our June Taylor dancers worked all week, yes, but the skits didn't. And that's the way it was. That's the way he wanted it. He was slightly a difficult man. Not, you know, I didn't want to be overly friendly with him, so it was fine.
So that is the last living member of the Honeymooners. That was Joyce Randolph, and we're going to actually post that at WGNRadio.com. But Jackie Gleason, 100 years old. I mean, he's another pioneer. We talked about Carl Reiner today, another pioneer in television variety and comedy.
Oh, sure. The Honeymooners had a little split-second blank there. Honeymooners definitely pioneered not only Jackie Gleason being such a comedic genius, but when you think about Art Carney, what he did, you know, always known as Ed Norton, but Art did a lot of television.
A lot of dramatic roles.
And dramatic roles, very serious roles.
You know what, though? There's not a lot of shows, Dave, that you can watch from the 50s and 60s that really can stand up to today, and the Dick Van Dyke Show was one of them.
One of them.
So was the Honeymooners.
And the Honeymooners, absolutely.
It is timeless entertainment.
Yeah.
Dave, I know you are going to be live with Dean next week, and so you won't be here either.
No, I will. I will.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, I'll be here. The remote with Dean will be more or less downtown here, so I will be in as usual in the morning and around, just after the 8 o'clock news next week, I'll move right over to Presidential Towers here. So I'll be here.
Gotcha.
I'll be here. Well, we'll have to talk about Florida.
I will see you in 2 weeks.
Okay, my friend.
All right.